Good afternoon, and welcome to this episode of the Unhelmet Podcast. It's funny, covering semi-pro for, like I said, entering my eighth year here. It is, you meet fascinating people with fascinating stories. Their road to the field is not always the same, and it is always interesting. Today, we have Audrey Rush. Audrey is one of the few female players that actually compete in a men's league. Good afternoon, Audrey. How are you?
I'm doing well. Thank you. Thank you very much for having me.
No problem. Now, how did you find your way to the field? Like, were you a lifelong football fan, or was this more of just something you decided to try? How did you get there?
Honestly, I had always wanted to play when I was younger. When I was a child, actually. And my mom was like, well, girls don't do that. Nice girls don't do that. So I ended up playing soccer, and as an adult, I own and manage a soccer team as well, and one of my players came to me, and she's like, I think you'd be good at this. Let's go try out for this, and it was a women's team, the Houston Power. So we both tried out and made the team, and that's how I started playing, and it's from there that two of the coaches were semi-pro players in the men's league. They had recruited me to come play for the Texas Spartans in the DTFA. That's where we had started. And so I started playing there, and I actually started as a kicker. And, but I was learning to play center and guard and DT in the women's league. So I started messing around at practice and asking coach if I could take some snaps at practice and whatnot. And eventually, I was able to, he put me out there after quite a while, and tested me out, and it went well. So I've just been playing ever since.
Now,
I love it, really.
Now, like I said, you played soccer, you play other sports. What is it about that moment of being in the trenches and knowing that you're giving away a lot of size and a lot of height and maybe some strength to a player, but you don't seem to care?
Honestly, I'm someone who likes to push myself and see how far I can go. And that's, part of it. And I knew on some level, I'm like, I can do this, Really, if I can even inspire one little girl to try something new, anything new, not just football, and put themselves out there, then I feel like it's all worth it, right? So between challenging myself and seeing how far I can go and pushing myself to do harder and wanting to learn how to play the game at a lot higher level, what do they say? Iron sharpens iron. So, when I play with them, I have to be better. I have to learn how to play better. So that's all part of it, And then what can I say? I love my teammates. in general, everybody's been, like, really supportive. So that's a great environment as well,
How did opponents receive you lining up, and they're lining up from a woman? How did they first receive you, and what kind of comments did you receive?
Well, it kind of varies. For the most part, it's all been positive. A lot of times at first, when I first started playing, nobody knew I was a girl until after the game. So the reaction really was shock, because nobody realized I was not a guy out there. As people started knowing me, they know I'm out there. So, and lots of people tell me, keep balling, you inspire a lot of people. So I do that. Occasionally sometimes I get a sideways comment or a sideways glance. Most of the time, though, it's from somebody who doesn't even play or hasn't played in 20 years. So I'm not really worried about it too much, And sometimes, there's just talk, it's just football. You talk junk, you talk shit, so that's what we do. So it's just really in fun. It's not anything ugly. among the funnier of the reactions is like lining up on the ball and some guy will be like, oh, you have beautiful eyes. And I'm like, what? That's not normal on the football field. So it does sometimes create some interesting situations.
What do you think, like, now you grew up in Texas, right?
No, actually, I was born in Northern Virginia. Oh. I've been in Texas now for about a little over 12 years, so, yeah.
Now, playing football in Texas, at no matter what level, is, well, as you know, football in Texas is a religion.
Yo, yes.
How did you psych yourself up and kind of embrace that football over everything mentality as far as the state?
As far as the state, honestly, when I started playing, you know, it's something I kind of never understood until I started playing. And when I started playing, I mean, it's literally one of the most challenging things I ever did anyway. So just that, I mean, it's just, I don't know. I just loved it so much. It's easy to get caught up in that and be with that. And, you know, football's family. I've made so many friends and met really great and interesting people with amazing stories. And, you know, I've had some amazing coaches, Coach Torres. You know, I wouldn't even be here without him, you know, agreeing to even take me on the team, much less coaching me and trying to make me a better player. So that's really a lot of it too. So it's easy to see now being in it, like how that happens.
What was your first major injury and how did you cope with that pain?
Oh, well, let's see. An actual football major injury, I broke my hand. I broke the fifth medial carpal on my left hand. It was broken, rotated, and it was a mess. So I have a screw in there now. Basically, I coped with it. I got the screw put in. They made me wait a couple weeks for the screw to set, and then they casted me up, and I played a whole season in a cast, basically. That's how I dealt with it.
Now, the other interesting question is, you are one of the few who actually have a interesting work background as far as the degrees. Explain your degrees and explain your studies and how did they help you in the field or how do they help you in the field?
You know, my degrees are in anthropology and archaeology. Part of my job, honestly, used to be hiking through remote territory, many miles a day, carrying tons of weight on my back. Suffice to say, doing that survey work gave me a lot of physical endurance in all kinds of weather conditions as well. So in that way, that's good. Now, the anthropology part's interesting because it's the study of cultures and societies and whatnot. So in that way, it helps me because I've met so many people from different backgrounds playing sports. It helps me, you know, relate to other people all the time. And you know, in today's world where there's so much hate and ugliness out there, I try to, you know, embrace everybody and love everybody for their differences as well as their similarities. So I think that it just helps me be calmer and more understanding sometimes. So that's always a good thing.
Now, one of the things that I find interesting is like being in Texas and, you know, with not just football, but barbecue, you're vegan. How does a vegan football player with degrees in anthropology and archaeology, like, live in the barbecue, one of the barbecue capitals of the United States? How does that work?
Well, you know, Houston is a huge place, so there's definitely a lot of different types of food, and one of the good things about being in a good big city is, like, even, because I cook a lot myself, as well. I try not to eat out too much. But there's a lot of availability in the stores of all our things. But the beautiful thing is there is also vegan barbecue. And, like, oh, gosh, there's all kinds of good food. So there's Ray J's Feel Good Food Truck here in Houston, Lindiana's Southern Kitchen, man, they're awesome. There was this food truck in Austin when I was there that had, like, brisket and other stuff that they made vegan using, you know, I think various kinds of, like, seitan, which is like a wheat meat, but they smoke it and make their own sauce just the same way you would regular meat. So it came out fantastic. Like, but I think that's a common myth that people think, like, vegan food necessarily has to be boring or something. But it really doesn't. Not at all. I mean, like, this morning I had a full Southern breakfast. Like, I used just eggs. I made home fries. I had my little vegan bacon strips, which kind of tastes more like turkey bacon. It doesn't really taste like bacon. It's more like that turkey bacon is what it tastes like. And I made biscuits and gravy. So, I mean, probably not the most healthy meal I ever made. But, yeah, so, I mean, I do just fine. And being vegan for a while, like when we all go out to eat or something, I've kind of learned what things I can pick and choose. And a lot of places are more than willing to put together a vegetable plate. So everywhere you go, they'll always have some, like, steamed stir-fried veggies and potatoes or something like that. So I can just put a plate together, and they'll almost always do it for me, and I tip them well. So it all works out.
Now, being in Houston, being in Texas, they have the Cowboys, they have the Houston Texans. Where do your football, your NFL allegiances lie? Who do you root for?
Okay, well, actually have a few teams. I do love the Texans living here, and so they are one of my big ones. My family on my mom's side traditionally roots for the Redskins, and some of my best memories with my grandmother, who raised me from the time I was 7 to 14, are watching the Redskins with her. I mean, she was so into it. She had, like, her cross and some other religious stuff. She had gifts my grandpa brought her from around the world in between, like, statues of Redskins and stuff like that. She loved the Redskins. So I always have a special place for the Redskins, and I love the Steelers too. So they always just struck me as being tough, and I admire that. So
now, college, you have Houston has so many college football teams in the city. Like, a bunch from Rice to Houston to TSU to Prairie View, all of that.
Oh,
who,
yeah.
Who do you root for in college? Like, who's your one college teammate? You know what? When Saturday comes, and if you're not doing anything, you're in front of the TV, you're watching them.
Uh-huh. Well, honestly, because I spent a lot of my younger years in Carolina and Virginia, I don't necessarily have a Texas team that I'm super hyped about, because I didn't really grow up here like that. But I do like Clemson, and I always love my alma maters, University of Louisville and University of New Mexico. That's where I did my undergraduate work. So, I like ASU too. So
now, New Mexico,
mostly because my daughter went there and my partner. So
now if New Mexico and Louisville played in the national championship in football, say if that happened, who would you root for?
I would have to go for Louisville.
There you go. That's a hard one. Now,
yeah, it is, because, I mean, I really like both of them. And, you know, I'm kind of one of those people, too. Like, I can support multiple people, or, like, you know, like, even, like, when I'm on the field playing against a friend, like, I'm going to go hard. But even if they win, I can still be happy for them. I don't know. I don't know how to explain it. Like, it sucks when you lose. But you can still be happy, you know, your friend made a good play or whatever. You know what I mean? I don't know. Like, some people have a hard time doing that, but I can do that. But So when it comes to choosing between two people I like, that's even harder.
Now, explain, you know, to the folks how you have the greatest birthday and birth date in the history of American society.
I do?
Why would you say that? June 7, 1974 is the greatest birthday in the history of American society. Why? Also my birthday.
Oh! I did not know that. That is awesome.
Yes, it is. It is good to see somebody who celebrates in June having a birthday. Audrey Rush, thank you so much for joining us on this episode of the Unhelmed Podcast.
Thank you for having me.
This has been another episode of the Unhelmed Podcast. Be good to yourselves. Be good to each other.